Joining me today is Joseph. You can follow him on Twitter at I Hate Your Club. It's been a monster weekend of action in the Premier League. All sorts of shit to cover. A very exciting Sunday. Joseph, how you feeling, man? Your boy.
All our boys, really.
All of them.
All the boys, I mean.
All the ones that we needed to show up.
All of them showed up. And some unsung heroes, maybe, and some solid performances all over the place. I mean, you thought, you know, it was a blistering 20 minutes, that's for sure. And I think that 20 minutes could have lasted longer.
Shout out to my boy Caninho, 88, Mr. Mark.
Is he doing all right?
I was like, we were really packed in like sardines at the Fox. Hat tip to everyone at the Fox that I saw this weekend. It was great seeing you guys and enjoying a joyous, momentous match with all the fellow Gooners. My friend Mark, who has joined us here on the Pinecast in, you know, prior occurrences, was bold enough to join me at the pub. There were quite a few Manx, or well, fans of sorts, there, and they were quite glum. And like, as the, I like bear hugged him as the first goal went in, and it was a little bad. I wasn't taunting him, you know, but he was hearing it right in his ear.
But what happened? What was his reaction when the second one in? When like, I don't know, 59 seconds later.
The bar was quite raucous and loud all around. We're high fiving over and around him with everyone else. I've got Kyle the Scouser next to me, still unwittingly, you know, not knowing, we don't know about the Brendan Rodgers news yet, but he's laughing because, you know, for him it's like, well, the two evils, he wants fucking United to lose. So he was enjoying this, and it was fantastic. It was a great, great opening 20 minutes, man. You fucked up. You should have been there, Justin.
I know, but I was kind of hungover a little bit anyway. I felt hungover, I should say. I didn't get out of bed till like noon, but part of that was, you know, like just relaxing after the win. So
there you go.
Relaxing after the win.
Relieving. Well, we'll
just releasing.
Yeah. But I mean, what the fuck, man? We've needed one of those for so long. You know, it's really what I was really hoping for. I mean, we've been blue balled by Arsenal so many times. You know, there's been moments last season, basically every season, we have a chance to do something like this. And finally to just fucking get that one off our backs and stuff United, and rightfully so. Like, no one can say anything to take any of that away from us. We whipped their ass. We dominated. We looked good. Incisive, sexy fucking football.
Well, I mean, I think what it came down to was being clinical. I mean,
sure,
you know, and the top talent really showed up and delivered. You know, I mean, it wasn't anything spectacular in the build up to the first goal, other than a great pass and an amazing and just a quick thinking, great reaction and goal. You know what I mean? It happened so quick, and Alexis's reaction to, you know, basically makes the sprint across, beats the, I don't know who was coming with him. I was Darmian.
Yeah,
and
Darmian's the one who got the little foot in, but he still got away from
it. And then, you know, De Gea is going to a spot where the ball is coming to, and he just steps in front of him, you know, and
right.
And it was brilliant. You know, it was fantastic. And I was I was still buzzing from the first goal, but when the second one happened, I was still buzzing.
Oh, absolutely. Cause I mean, look at the goal that we got, you know, like you said, it was quite the flick at the near post. And yeah, it was great. Cause you know, like De Gea was completely shell-shocked, you know,
yeah,
just completely like, whoa, fuck, you know? All of a sudden, he jinks right in and just fucking backheels it past me, you know? Like, that was exciting.
And then the second goal, you build up to, you know, Santi throws, you know, makes that great pass and just completely takes the whole midfield of United away.
Sure.
And Theo runs onto it, and I'm still buzzing, and then I'm getting more excited because I'm going, come on. You know, he's running the ball. And then he does, you know, he does a good job, because I think a lot of times he would have probably taken it on his right and tried to curl it around De Gea. I mean, we've seen it. I don't know how many times him try that. He tried it last week too, where he tried to, you know, yeah. bend it around. And last week it just went well wide of the goal.
Well, the thing and is, a lot of the times, though, those efforts, when he does that, they come out really tame. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't hit them.
He doesn't fully. Get everything on yeah. them. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and I don't know, maybe someday he will, but on a more consistent basis. But that's what I was expecting, especially when he, you know, because we know he's going to cut into his right. I mean,
right.
You know, so when he does, and then he has the vision enough to see Ozil there, who, you know, delivers a great ball, and he just slots it away. And then I'm trying not to go crazy because people are still asleep when I'm watching, but I was just sure. doing all I can to not just, but I'm like, you know, hitting the bed and,
fuck that. I don't care who's sleeping. I'd be yelling. I mean, look, come on, man. It's like, it's all right. Granted, it's only 8:07 in the morning here in Los Angeles when it's going on, but it wasn't a 4:45 match. It wasn't 5:30, you know?
I know. Like, I should have gone downstairs. Yeah. And just, but I was trying to, you know, not move because I had a good feeling where I was that I stay there and watch the match. So I wasn't leaving. You know, I'm superstitious.
Sure,
what can I do?
Sure.
So I just watched the match as quietly as possible. But man, I was, and so that was just exciting. I mean, two chances, two clinical finishes, and we just kept, I mean, that we just kept going. You know, even after that, we just kept going. And, that was really exciting. It really was.
Yeah, it was amazing to see them turn up like that. Like we said, I mean, they showed us everything that we've been hoping for. You know, the players were quick to laud Arsene Wenger afterwards, saying the performances for him. After seeing all the shots we're taking him in the media, you know, it's just good. I mean, look, this is a performance that we've always known that this team and the squad were capable of, but it just doesn't happen for
you. They
got to
put that effort in. I mean, partly it's the way the United's set up. I mean, let's not, you know, I don't want, you know, they set up poorly and our midfield just took their midfield out of the game, you know?
Right.
I mean, between the match of the day analysis and the other analysis I've seen that pointed things out, you know, that you don't get necessarily, especially watching the first time. You know, Santi's passing just took a bunch of those guys out of the match time and time again, you know, just completely bypassed them. You know, they'd come to close down and he'd make a pass and it'd completely take all of them out. And then we'd end up with, you know, Alexis isolated or Theo running onto the ball or, you know, and it was just a great performance, poor setup by them. And they never adjusted. They tried to adjust a couple times and it didn't make a difference.
Yeah. I mean, but some of the questions, which is, I mean, you know, like some of the selection stuff that Van Gaal did didn't make much sense to me at all. I mean, like Darmian coming in, you know, moving him to the right. You had Valencia, who they ended up bringing on at halftime anyway, who always seems to play pretty well against us. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not used to, you know, we're not used to him being the guy that fucks up for him. You know, you got Blind in there. You just got, this is so fucking disjointed, this side that they had. And they looked like Arsenal on a bad day. I remember multiple times during that half and we were laughing because, and I was laughing at every time Mark was, you know, sighing in exasperation because they'd finally fucking win the ball.
We rarely get
us,
that
and
from
they'd
Theo at
passes.
All more than, you know,
yeah.
two or three.
Yeah. I mean, we were really quick.
Our intensity
match,
was
great.
And
his effort up top,
you know, we always get that,
you know,
from
and him coming back a couple, two or three times to make a tackle to try to, you know, get us the ball back was surprising and welcoming.
Yeah. Refreshing even.
Yes. But, you know, just thinking about his game, he can do that, obviously, because he did it, but he's not going to be able to give you that twice a week for 90 minutes. I mean, that's just going to be too much effort. I don't think he's really built that way. So, you know, he could do it 60 minutes in a match and give you that kind of effort.
Well, look, which is great. I mean, the thing is that, like it's wonderful to see him put in a performance like this where he actually does look like a competent center forward in the sense that, like, you know, I mean, the big knock has always been that his hold up play hasn't been very good. His distribution, he hasn't, you know, not enough touches, you know, not involved enough in the play when he's not doing stuff. But, you know, so great. I mean, I remember there was the, you know, right before Alexis' third, you know, you see he's got his back to goal and you're like, oh God, like, I hope Theo makes the right play, but he turns and makes that pass right away. And it was, you know,
It's a really good pass.
Exactly what we needed him to do. It was like, please give it to him, give it to him. Oh, perfect. You did it.
It was a great pass.
It was like surprising. You're like, oh, fuck yeah. You all right, Theo. Good job. Like, that's, you know, like that's the kind of pass you'd expect Giroud to do more because he's more used to being that like kind of point man that just kind of pivots and gives it off. But it's great to see that that's, you know, something that comes with time and that after a little bit of a sustained run in the position, we're seeing him develop that, which is fantastic, you know, and that's exactly what I want to see.
I hope it continues. I hope that kind of play. And honestly, if it only can last for 60 minutes a match, because like I said, I just don't think he can last for that much longer. In a single match doing that with that much effort. But I think that's a lot from the team.
I mean, but if he can give us that, you know, fucking 50, 60 minutes, whatever, if he can do that every game, you know, we play perfectly fine with Giroud in there. You know,
right.
like it's not like that's something we don't know how to do. And both of these players are notorious for being good at coming off the bench and making an impact. So, you know, I'm perfectly happy with the rotation right now for the time being. As long as it keeps on clicking like this. I mean, this is it's quite the lovely development.
Yeah. And it's an exciting match. I haven't watched the whole match again, and I plan on it when I get time. I've watched the first 20 minutes, I don't know, three times.
There you go.
You know, I still can't believe Ramsey didn't put his chance on frame.
Yeah, no shit, right? I mean, holy fuck. Like, that was on a platter.
Ox needs a slump buster like nobody's business.
I know, because that was such a nice flick, too. It's like, just get under that fucking bar.
I mean, if it's not going to go in, then you're like, shit, he should have passed because, you know, Giroud was basically had a tap in. But, I mean, it was a great move to get where he was. And it was, I mean, I don't blame him for taking the shot at all. It's just, I was trying to will that damn thing in.
I was just like, get down, you fucking ball.
That'd have been perfect icing.
Millimeters. Oh, I know, exactly. I was like, oh, God, that's all I wanted. I wanted the fucking cherry, you know? Like, I used to use wanted the little nightcap, the nice little, the dessert, you know?
Absolutely.
So, but I'm not that picky, you know? I was talking with some of my fellow LA Gooners at halftime, and... And one of them was like, I want to beat them 5-0. I'm like, so do I, but I'm not fucking like, I'm not, that would be wonderful. Let's just win this by like 3 clear goals. That'd be awesome. You know,
let's see the game out.
Just not fuck this up. That's all I'm asking for here. Like, you know, like I'm a greedy motherfucker too, but within reason. And 3-0 was just the tonic we needed.
Here's the thing is they had chances. I mean, the Martial one right in front of goal that Cech saves. And then you had, I think Young had a decent opportunity. He didn't do well with it when he was basically just was allowed to like walk down the middle of the pitch and take a shot. But it was right into Cech's hands. So they had a few opportunities. And then what you had that
Rooney is shit.
Yeah, the handball from Fellaini when he came in.
Yeah, that fucker.
They had some opportunities, but Rooney was horrible, and Memphis was invisible.
Yeah.
So I'm just guessing that we completely took him out of the match because when I've seen him play, he gets isolated on the left and has a go at people, and I didn't see that once.
Yeah, he didn't really take anybody on. That much. And I think you have to give some credit to Mr. Hector Bellerin for having another quite another good game on the right side and was very solid and very astute defensively and also got forward at will. You know, I mean, it is really working on that side right now with, you know, you have Ramsey playing that kind of tucked in position and kind of dropping into midfield here and there, and you have that outlet there. It's working out pretty nicely. And, you know, like it's, you know, we talk about these things. You look at the buildup to the first goal. You know, and it's, you know, it was a chance that, you know, Bellerin was in there. He tried to make a cross. It got cleared out. There was that great tackle by Coquelin at the edge of the box, which was fucking beautiful, you know? And it's exactly what got us right back on it and back on the front foot again and started and got the goal going.
Yeah.
And that shit was just fucking, that's.
Even for the third one, Ramsey, I'm still trying. I need to slow it down to really figure out how he got it turned around,
you know, because he was faced towards our end, and I haven't figured out how he flicked it because that camera angle wasn't that great, but he did a great job, and then saw just a tiny lane and got that ball to Theo. That was pretty good. Or that was the third. Sorry, the third goal.
There was something great in the second goal, just considering it had just happened. It was funny how like Alexis backheeled it to Ozil the way he had scored the goal. It was just like, God, you know,
that
like,
was pretty sick
to unlock it and open it up. And he's like spins off and is running, and it's just like it was lightning fast, sexy football there for a few minutes. And
but for as good as we were, man, they had some poor performances. I mean,
they were dog shit. They were a steaming pile of poo.
Martial was their best player, and he only had a chance and a half all match.
What the fuck is this Schweinsteiger that we're seeing? I mean, look, I'm happy that's what they got. That's what I expected them to get, because basically he's been broken for large chunks of the last couple of years, and he's on the wrong side of 30. You know,
I didn't understand him and Carrick together, but I welcomed it.
Yeah.
I mean, Carrick, Carrick, just like,
I mean, look, that'd be us playing Flamini and fucking Arteta. You know what I mean? It's a bad fucking idea.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh, these guys are both old and don't have legs, really. We should play them.
Well, you know? And then Schweinsteiger was up the field half the match trying to press, you know, our defense into something. He was all over the place, but not anywhere effective.
Yeah.
Well, I'll welcome that. I hope they do that again on the return fixture.
Pretty please. Let long may it continue. So what's the deal now, man? The title's back on.
Well, here's the good thing is, just like we talked about last week, that we're not out of it.
Right.
That's all that matters right now for me.
No, we're not even just not out of it. We're like in it though right now.
Well, yeah, I know, but this thing is still to be. We're still not even 10 matches in, right? So and the table's ugly.
No, right now the table is beautiful.
Well, there's some
beautiful
parts of the table.
I believe there's a certain team down like 17th or so.
But
right?
But figuring that, you know, a certain manager just lost his job, but he was only 3 points off of us.
Right.
We're still so early that the quality really hasn't shown. So.
Sure.
But seeing Chelsea in 16th, 17th?
Yeah, I think 17th.
It's pretty. I might frame it. Because I don't know how long that's going to really last looking at their fixtures coming up.
Yeah, but they got a couple that are – I mean, look, maybe Liverpool can get like a new manager bounce. Hopefully it's not Jurgen Klopp, but we'll get there eventually. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like maybe they can drop a few more points because like,
have Villa coming up.
So people were saying – I was listening to – I don't know if it was – I don't know. Fucking all the podcasts are blending together now. I think it was on the Arsene Mouse podcast. They were talking about how, I believe, so with their point total, right? The last time they had this point total.
It was like 70-something.
Yeah, like 79 or some shit. And they got relegated that season. No one in the Premier League has gotten higher than fifth when they had this kind of point total after the same amount of matches. I'm not ready to write them off at the top four.
No, they're going to. They'll still find the. Well,
they still lose two matches. Like two more matches in like October, or well, I guess there's only a couple matches left. If they lose two more matches over the course of like October, November, and drop points and more, you know, like let's say three more bad results, a couple draws and a loss, or two losses and a draw, like then I will put them in that category where I'm like, I don't think they're gonna make the top four. Which
that'd
be
really great. I want to watch that.
Yeah, I really.
I will stay tuned for that. But
stick around after the break. Chelsea implodes.
I've seen this type of run before. We've had it.
Sure.
You know, we had it a few years back when we started off so poorly. Now, obviously, points-wise, we didn't start off as poorly as this, but we were close. You know, we had a bad couple of months to begin, and then we, you know, really kicked in later on in the second part of the season. But they're just... No, well, here's a combination of not having your striker available because he's stupid, and then
because
you have
a stupid cunt.
And then you have external crap going on, and then you got
bad karma, bad juju. There's everything is stacked against him, and I love it.
Here's the thing: that's the part that he usually loves. That's what he wants. This is what he wants. that he wants this us against them.
Yes.
He loves it. He thrives it. He always gets that team together and they strive off of it.
But there's a problem now. Well, there's several problems.
Well, the problem is it's not working yet. It hasn't kicked in.
Well, it's not working, but then it's also like, well, who would he issue the rallying cry to in the past? You know, he just brought John Terry back in from the cold. He got fucking abused, you know, for one of the goals in that match. I think it was the second goal by Mane.
Yeah,
from Mane, where he spun him in the box and he's got left for dead, which is fucking beautiful. Whenever you can see, whenever like John Terry's like getting back up off his knees while they scored, I'm thinking of like the slip, you know, with you know, his slip, was it Van Persie and then Walcott and all that.
Walcott.
You know, it's a beautiful thing. But so you got guys like John Terry, who's not the happiest because he's not playing much and he's also just too old. And, you know, Lampard's gone. You know, Ivanovic, who's his rock, is playing like fucking
an average right back.
Well, playing like an average center back playing right back, who's not fast enough to do. You know what I mean? So, and the thing is, look, yes, to be fair to him, he was one of the best right backs in the league last season. But this ain't last season.
Homie. Well, right, but we talked about when we used to talk about Senya. At some point, he needed to come in. I mean, he needed to make that transition to a center back.
Yeah, he's still playing pretty well as a fullback, though. He's got more pace than Ivanovic.
Well, he's back on the bench, but I think that Ivanovic, that he's at that age, and he needs to go back to being the center back.
Right.
And then you still have your leaders, but you know, maybe they should have bought a right back instead of a left back this summer. But whatever, you can live
or
with
you
that
could,
squad.
Or you could just play as Pulqueta on the right side because, you know, he's right-footed.
Or you could maybe play one of the 50 guys you have out on loan on the right.
37? I don't fucking know. It's over 35. I know it's over 35. Crazy. Crazy, crazy stuff going on up there at Stamford Bridge. You know, and there's the whole – there's just – but the thing is that there's not – there isn't – he doesn't have these things going for him, Jose. You know, it's the Eva Carneros thing. That's not – that doesn't work out well in terms of PR, does it? It's not going to anger – you know, it's not going to bring you any goodwill. You know, you have the horrific start. You have this weird fucking rant after the match where you go on 7 minutes. And you – like, dude, it's fucking tired. It's old. Like, nobody cares about you bitching about the fucking referees anymore. You know, everybody watched that match and saw Southampton denied two penalties while they were down in this match. You know, when it still wasn't going for them, that didn't get called. And then they still go around and make the comeback. And then, yeah, it was a debatable possible penalty for Chelsea towards the end, but still wouldn't have made the difference. You know, like I said, all right, let's give the penalties that should have been called, or even one to each side. And you still, no matter what the outcome of those two penalties were, it wouldn't have changed the result.
They were outplayed. I mean,
they were.
We've had. I mean, they were really outplayed that match. I got to sit down and watch that one after because I got back late or something for it. But I got to watch the whole, since they were lost, I'm like, I'm going to watch the whole thing. And
yeah,
and they were outplayed. So,
man, fair play to Southampton. I mean, the way they released it on the break was quite good. I mean, look, Mane was really fucking solid, and then you know, and then Pele had his one match in 3 or 4 where he – look, I mean, he's got good numbers for the Premier League this season, but, you know, he's so hit and miss. So, you know, put away a good goal and did some good hold-up play and was a very good center forward on the day. So, more power to him. And
yeah, they're a little inconsistent, but that's fine because I don't know when we play him, but hopefully we play him soon when they're not playing so well.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, so that's exciting stuff, you know. Chelsea in turmoil. And speaking of teams in turmoil, let's move on to one good Liverpool who didn't have the most convincing performance in the derby, got the result they thought was going to be enough to keep Brendan his job, but apparently it was all already decided. I mean, he is out. What are we going to do, Joseph? No more deluded Brendan.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sad to see. Hopefully that, I don't know. I think he's still looking for a job, that deluded Brendan account. I think I saw him at Tesco to see if they were hiring.
Sweet.
But, you know, I wanted them to keep him longer because I think it's better for us. It's better for the rest of everybody. I don't want them to get
a decent manager. But here's the thing is it's not the manager that, you know, it's not all the manager that's the problem. It's like at Spurs. It's not, I mean, they've gone through how many, I mean, there were some decent managers in there. To be fair, Boas was a decent manager.
Yeah, he's decent. I think Pochettino's a better manager than him.
Well, he might be, but the problem isn't the manager there. It's the club that's the problem. It's the mentality.
The infrastructure. The fans, too. They're part of the problem.
Right, and I think the part of the problem at Liverpool isn't the manager, it's the institution. And hopefully that part continues because I don't really want to see them.
Long may the transfer committee continue to commiserate because they're doing a terrible job.
Well, here's the thing is it also is that if they get a top manager and they apparently got one on the line, right? So he's going to have to live with whoever it is going to have to live with that squad that they just spent £300 million over the last three seasons with.
I still can't wrap my head around the idea of Klopp going there. I mean, like, I see how it can make sense, and he's obviously, you know, their go-to option if they can't get Ancelotti. It's just, I suppose, you know, there's a better chance of him, I guess, making the top four with them than with Chelsea at this moment. But, I mean, if you compare the squads on paper, I mean, it's fucking, you know, night and day.
It's nowhere near a good enough squad to make a top four. It really isn't. They're top six. Five or six, that's where they should end up with that squad.
You know, the thing with Liverpool, they have this squad currently that could feasibly, considering Chelsea's whatever not, it could make the top four this season. I mean, really, it's already down to a race between those two as it stands, probably. I mean, if you take the long-term whatnot. But I don't know, man. Like this side, you know, it's been rebuilt, you know, but it's been in a constant state of rebuilding. You know, Brendan gave them their best moments and the best football they've played in years, which, you know, we got to be fair to him. He did do that. I mean,
absolutely. He had the players he basically had the attacking players at that, the three attacking players to get that done.
And but what do you think though? Do you think like how does his outward persona affect how gainfully employed he is? Because it seems like there are aspects, and you know, when they signed him and he came over from Swansea, I saw the way he had set them up and the way they played. And I was like, look, this guy seems to have a decent philosophy and he's going to bring some decent football to this club, which he did for a while in a certain sense. But you know, the job isn't just what you do on the pitch or in the training ground. Like it's an all encompassing job under the highest scrutiny. I mean, the bullshit that he spewed at press conferences and what he'd say and the way he fucking carries himself. Like, do you think, I mean, did the results get him out more, or was it his persona?
It's a really good question. I think people just got tired of it, right? Like the same thing happens with Mourinho, right? Everything's cool. But when you're no longer winning or you're not playing as well, or people get tired of it. And I think part of you're right is, part of his personality is just worn. It's just like, I'm tired of it. I mean, people are tired of Arsene too. I mean, people get tired of managers and over and, you know, they get tired of the same message. And when you're not winning things and you're not close to winning and you know, you're talking about we're building. And then all of a sudden you're talking about rebuilding again. And you just spent £300 million in three seasons. I think people get tired of it. And from what I read, you know, they have the people that are running the club, and then you have the ownership, and the ownership was ready to make the change in the summer, but the people at the club wanted to keep him, you know, try it one more year.
So, what do you think? Do you think they're actually going to get Klopp?
I think they are going to get Klopp.
Fuck, man.
Because he's available, and there aren't any other jobs available right now, unless he wants to sit out the rest of the year. I mean,
which why not? Because the good jobs are all going to be open in the summer. Chelsea jobs right there, sitting there waiting for him. Him or Simeone could walk in and take that shit after this year. Well, nope, no problem, and be handed $100 million.
Yeah, I mean, you're right.
You know, all you have to do is recoup like $50 million on like two or three players, and then he could go spend $100-$120 if he goes to Chelsea. You know, if there's any way, if City were to not win the league this year, Pellegrini's out, right?
Right.
Go there, they'll give you $200 million. Like, what the fuck? I mean, look, Klopp, Guardiola, whoever, Ancelotti, you know, those are the jobs they're looking at.
Yeah, I mean, you would have thought that, I mean, he would have got that Madrid job if he had finished the year much better, if he had a decent year with Dortmund last year.
Yeah, quite possibly.
You know, at least he would have been up for it, right?
Yeah, but you know what? It's this summer. There are so many jobs that could be up for grabs. Everybody knows that Rafa Benitez is not someone who really endears himself very well to everybody. You know, he's not everybody's cup of tea. He's not a media darling, and you know, and you can get run out of Madrid if you don't even win the fucking league. I mean, even if you win the league, as Capello could tell you,
right?
So if it doesn't go right, they don't have success in the Champions League, and they don't win the league, then you know he could easily be out after this season. You know, and we all know how revisionist history goes when someone's out of the game for a while. The way the perception changes, you know what I mean? Like, club stock is not going to go down during this time.
Right. You know
what I mean?
Because his name is going to get brought up every time.
Exactly. And he's laid a whooping on Real Madrid, and they like the way he plays football. So that's an option. Hey, guess what? Where does Marco Reus want to go next season? Maybe one of those two teams. Maybe Barcelona if they don't win the league. You know, look, Luis Enrique, good and great, whatever. It's not outside of the realm of possibility if it doesn't go well. Maybe one of the personal relationships doesn't go the way they want to. You know, maybe he's not in charge of personnel at Barcelona next season. I mean, there's a plethora of big gigs that he could potentially go to that are quite a bit tastier than that Liverpool job. Now, not that he's going to wait that long, but you know, 2 years from now, there's going to be two other positions open. That's going to be what, United and Arsenal?
No, Arsenal's going to keep going until he dies.
Fuck off. Another extension? They got to stop at some point.
Well,
the only extension
I only got the word on Twitter today that he's expected to want. He wants to extend beyond this contract.
Get the fuck out.
No.
That should only be contingent. I will give Arsene an extension. Yeah, myself, because I control Arsenal's money. Only if he wins the league next year. Only. Like, you have to win the league or win the Champions League. If you don't do one of those two, it's like, okay, thank you for your service. We're going to try to get Guardiola because his contract is up with Bayern. Or maybe somehow, wherever, whatever Klopp did somewhere, maybe that's where it, you know, I don't fucking know.
Yeah, he's going to be around for a few more years. That's all I'm saying. It's not the 1.5. He's going to be here for a while.
This is me beating my head against the microphone. And the thing, look, I'm not an Arsene out kind of guy. I love
the
man.
But a lot of people are ready for the change. That's what it is.
It's just we see where his old man stuff comes into play. You know, your grandpa's not going to change his mind when he's fucking 70 years old. You know, how old is Arsene? 67,
something like that.
Ballpark, yeah. So. You know,
yeah, but he's reinvigorated. He's got rid of the wife. He's a whole new man. He's out on the town, spreading it around.
Well, that's a whole new development. I forgot about that. That happened what, a couple weeks ago, a week ago.
Well, I think it happened in the summer, but he announced it, I guess, or was whatever to the press.
Disseminated.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago. So, you know, he's got more time on his hands.
I suppose so.
Well, maybe not, because apparently the lady that he was linked with, maybe he doesn't have any time anymore.
Go get him, Tiger. Well, good for him. You know, get yours, Arsene. I mean, look, maybe that means he wants to go take a job in France, or maybe he wants to go coach Real Madrid. I'd be happy for him and
for
Arsenal.
I think everybody would, but right now where things are right now, I think everybody would, to be honest.
But the thing is that, like, you know, well, you know, we've all heard this before. I mean, like, Florentino Perez always wanted him as the manager of Real Madrid.
He would It'd be interesting. It'd be interesting. I mean, I wouldn't mind to see him do it just to see if he could succeed there.
He'd also,
for a few years.
He'd also be on the high on the list for Barcelona, but I know you don't want to think about that. But, you know, who else plays their kind of football?
I don't want to talk about that.
All right. We'll leave that one there. just back to the point. So I heard there was a few interesting points made on that Ars to Mouse podcast today. It was interesting hearing these theories about your favorite player, Fabregas, and whatnot, and a few other things that about him not being happy there. And there's so much discontent because of Mourinho and what they have around. Like, how many of those players are happy to be there? You know, he made a very good point. I thought about that, but I hadn't really thought about it hard, about the fact that, you know, well, you have this shit where this team acts like a pack of cunts against your old team, where the manager is your guy, you know, he's your boy from, he's your father figure. And this guy's trying to fucking run his name through the mud. You know, you have him coming out and making these statements. Like, how much does Cesc Fabregas want to play for Chelsea? Doesn't look like a lot at the moment.
Well, right now it doesn't look like very much. But, I mean, we know that dude's, I don't know what the word is. He's bitchy. I don't know what the right word is. But, you know, he's still a good player. I don't think it's physical with him. But I think it's mental. Maybe it is that he doesn't want to be there. I mean, hell, I don't want him to be there.
Right.
But I think it's just the environment. If things were going well, I think he'd be doing better. And I think it's just there's an issue with the team. I don't think it's that he doesn't want to play there. He wants to play and get paid. Now, maybe he might not ever love that club, but who cares? You know?
Right. They'll pay him a hefty salary. He's on 200+ K a week, right?
Right. Either that, or if Jose's around, he'll be gone by the summer. I mean, really,
that's true.
Maybe it'll be two ways. If Jose's not gone, then I think Cesc is gone in the summer.
I think I'd agree with that.
I don't know where, but they'll find a place. They seem to find places and sell people on for profit every year. So,
well, now that the title race is back on.
It's wide open.
It is completely.
I mean, whether we're in it or not, it's wide open.
Well, we're definitely in it because basically
we're not out of it.
Well, but basically everybody's in it in the top half of the table at the moment.
Yeah,
maybe not half, but you know, the top third.
Mathematically, everybody in the top half is still in it because I think the top half's got everybody over 12 points or something.
Yeah, so I mean, that's all within the realm of possibility. What are they're on 18 points?
I think so. City,
something like that. I mean, that's all there for the taking. I mean, so what do you think now? I mean, so there's been a lot of debate as to Europe because we are faced with an interesting paradox. You know, we've talked about Europa League and how we don't want it. You know, we don't want to talk about the Europa League on the Pintcast in general, but the day seems it may be sooner that we might have to.
Would the worst thing, because I don't think we have any shot at winning the Champions League before we started the season, but it's really out of the. I think we have no chance in the Champions League at all. I think there's zero chance we could win that tournament.
I think it's bullshit.
Do you think we have any chance of winning that tournament?
Sure, where we sit right now? Play like we did yesterday.
But we've seen no evidence of this team being able to play that more than one match.
Well, you play that
two
for,
matches. All right, right?
Play that for one match against Bayern and scrape out some fucking win.
Right, and then you're still going to have to more wins.
Yeah, then you got to go beat the two shit teams in our fucking group that we should have beat the first time we played them. Fuck Olympiacos, and we can't beat goddamn Partizan, whatever the fuck it was, at home. Then you don't deserve it anyway. So, look, it's not likely that we're going to get out of that in this sense. You know, it certainly would not be the worst thing for us to finish fourth in the group, other than just the humiliation. But I mean, well, just be out of Europe altogether.
Well, sure, exactly. From that. I mean, who gives a I mean,
right. If you're out, who gives a fuck?
To me, there's no benefit in being in the tournament unless you're going to go deep. And we don't go deep in the tournament. So I don't know. It really benefits to keep going in the Champions League other than it's the hope and opportunity, which seem to kick us in the balls all the time. So,
but I mean, then the problem is that more than likely, if we win one or two of our other results,
we're going to Europa.
Third place in Europa League, which is a tournament that we would immediately become, you know, one of the joint favorites to win. But then it's the Thursday matches, and you got to come back and play Saturday and Sunday. And we've seen what that does to the other teams. It doesn't benefit Liverpool or Tottenham when they have to do that in the league. It fucking sucks.
But they have shit squads. We don't have a shit squad.
Right.
I mean, let's be real. We don't have a shit squad. And especially if we had two players back, if we had two more players that will come back someday when the real part of the tournament starts, I don't see a problem with it. I don't want to be in it either. I mean, I really don't. But if we could win the thing, I don't know. I guess we'll cross that bridge if we ever have to, right? Yeah. We always talked about let's not talk about it, but
but now it's
I think
like
we're
going to
talk about it soon.
Yeah.
Is all I'm saying.
Well, let's table that conversation until after we play Bayern,
okay.
Which we can really fucking look forward to because they look terrible,
ridiculously good, right?
Jesus, I don't even want to talk about that match. I like happily
Here's the
ignored
only
it.
The only thing that's good is that the person that really killed us the last times we played them plays for Real Madrid now. So,
yeah, yep, he does. He does. But they've found a couple
guys
that are
like,
doing pretty well. I think
they don't suck.
Yeah, Lewandowski's got 14 goals this season, 12 in his past three games.
He won't score against us.
No,
not a single goal against us.
Wow,
fuck him.
Then there's Mueller.
Yeah, he might score.
He will definitely score. He always scores. Oh god! Who and he's on like 10 goals in 11 games or some shit, something crazy. 10 or 11 goals. Yeah, that's just without Robin and Ribéry playing at all. They haven't even been like people have forgotten who they are. Douglas Costa looking like a monster.
He is a monster.
He is so fast.
He is really
quick. Is he faster than Theo? He might be
with the ball. He certainly. Right. I think he is with the ball.
With the ball, yeah. I think that's fair.
I think Man. I think Bellerin is faster with the ball at his feet than Theo. But running onto a ball, probably not.
Right.
But with the ball, you know, at his feet, I think they are. So,
yeah,
especially they're plus because they have better control with it. You know what I mean? So it helps.
Yeah.
You're not like kicking it to the side and then going and getting it.
Those ASO runs, where you kick it 10 yards ahead of you and just keep pushing it that way.
Ox does the same damn thing. It must be something at Southampton.
Well, Ox does that in those first few pushes, but then he's got all those other moves, you know, to turn the corner that aren't really in Theo's arsenal. But yeah, man. I mean, look, Bayern demolished Dortmund. I honestly, like, it was, you know, I think I checked on it at halftime when it was still a match. It was 2-1. You know, as the Arsenal match is coming to a close, I'm checking because I'm about to ask them at the pub to switch it over. And then I see it's like 5-1. I was just like,
can we replay this match instead?
No, not gonna. I don't need to see the last 15, 20 minutes of that. We can do without it.
Well,
it's not even a fucking competition in Germany now.
No, they've done a good job of making it a complete farce of a competition.
Yeah, but that team's really fucking good. They're very good. Like we will have to play at least as good as we did at the weekend to stand a chance of you know, getting a result against them. That's what it's going to take. These are currently the, you know, there is a current hierarchy of the elite, like, three clubs in Europe.
Yeah.
That have the collection of the super talent. And outside of that, I mean, everyone else is in the class below. So you have Bayern, Barca, and Real. And I think on form right now, Bayern is the scariest of the three. So, shit.
It'd be nice to play them.
Time to go do something special. I mean, look, it's not, look, you know, granted, you know, you talk about these victories you have. I mean, look, when you're already going to lose over the course of the two legs. What does it fucking matter if you, you know, win 2-1 on the away leg? But, you know, at least these guys, most of the guys that were in that squad are still there right now. And they'll have respect for Bayern, but they know they can go out and do something. We're going to have to play the perfect match, but we'll see. I'm not ready to quit on the Champions League. Not at all. Once we lose to Bayern at home, then I'll be ready to quit on it. I'll be like,
we'll have no choice to quit.
Yeah, we won't have any choice at all. But, you know, what can you do? We'll be all right. So what do you think, man? Alexis is back on fire.
We have some other players that need to start finding their fire.
Yeah, we need Ramsey again. The goal.
Ramsey needs to score.
We need that double digits from midfield. Hey, how about Santi? Honestly, that's what I was thinking during the match. I was like, look, we're really going to take the piss. Santi's going to score his first goal in like a fucking year. How long has it been? Like beginning of last season or season before since he scored?
It's been a long time. I don't know.
It's absurd for a man who takes goddamn corner kicks with his left foot and right foot. You know what I mean? It's just insane.
And part of it's just where he's playing now, but he's had plenty of shots on goal. He's just nowhere near scoring.
Well, the thing is, most of them haven't been on goal. He's shanked the shit out of most of them, or he pounds it right into the fucking wall. Like half of his shots on top of the box just go straight in defenders, which I guess it's kind of a casualty of that type of shot, but. Just it feels like they always get blocked, or he's way off target. So he could work on that.
Maybe he could score. That'd be nice. It'd be nice if he scored. It'd be nice if Ramsey needs like a run of just it. It's probably just similar to the Alexis, right? Just
yeah,
one happens, and I mean he needs just a tap in. Can we get a tap in for him?
Yeah, you know, look at the confidence going, and look, we'll get, you know, it. He's not that far off in terms of form. Yeah, it's a little weird for him not really playing in his preferred position, but it's all too evident that what we're doing with with Cazorla in that position is really working. So you got to stick with it. So you know, he still gets into the starting 11 every match that he's fit. He's a first choice player. He's going to play. He's in a position where he can get ahead and try to score more. So, you know, deal with it and fucking play, you know. Be your own little Mueller. Please take some notes. It's the least you could do when we play them. Just learn how to be like him. Pretty please.
Yeah. But it was overall pretty spectacular Sunday.
Pretty spectacular Sunday. And look, even Saturday wasn't too bad. I mean, look, Kun Aguero, by and large, the class of our league. I mean, I'd say there's two players that fall into that category. And we're lucky enough to have one of them, and that would be Alexis Sanchez. But you'd have to say that the class of the league currently is Kun Aguero when he's fit. Even when he's not fit, apparently, right? A little niggle, but he still scored 5 fucking goals.
Yeah, he scored his first one, and I said, damn, he's just so good. And then... Someone tweeted at me, he's only scored like 2 goals in like, I don't know, 7 games or how much it had been, or 8 matches.
Yeah.
And then like 3 minutes later, he tweeted me back. He said, never mind. Because he'd scored 2 more, I think. And then I said, hell, I want him to score 6. And he almost did.
Yeah, it was right there.
Yeah, it was pretty.
It was right there.
That Newcastle team didn't look so. They looked so good for about.
Well, that was 25, like that.
30
that,
minutes.
That was kind of. It was almost like that. Because it was 1-1 at halftime, right? So, it was like that. Wolfsburg beating Bayern in that first half,
right?
The week, and then just getting fucking demolished by Lewandowski. Very similar.
Yeah, very similar. They saw the same map.
Yeah, very much so. But look, man, things are good. Arsenal win. We go to a break. There's nothing worse than going to a fucking interlull like on a low. So enjoy the next like 10 days, United
fans.
It's
a long break. Yep. So at least we won going into it.
Absolutely.
In a big match. And then now I don't have to try to think about the last time we beaten them because we just did.
Yep.
And I won't forget those 3 goals.
So. Shall not. By no means. Well, look, man, it was a pleasure having you on, as always. Follow this fine fellow on Twitter at I Hate Your Club. We'll have all sorts of more fun and goodies for you next week. We will be doing a podcast during the interlull, so look for that next week. We don't have any matches to preview. We'll do that when we get back next week or so. We don't really need to talk about the international stuff. As it stands now, Alexis is heading off to Chile.
Dude, won't stay home. Jesus Christ.
I know. And he's going to want to play against fucking Brazil. So please don't tear your groin with all those beautiful South American women or that game. One or the other.
Right. Stay home and screw someone instead.
I don't know. That's dangerous. Talk to fucking Boateng, right? And Kevin Prince Boateng got one of those injuries when he was at Milan. Mucho take it easy. Please, por favor. All right, guys. Thanks so much. We will catch you next week. We'll be right back.